tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another awesome, wonderful edition of the Inner Guide Empowerment Community on the Awakening Zone Radio Network. My name is Brad Simpkins, and I am your host tonight. We have the awesome, incredible Cindy Lepore as our producer, and she will be giving us some announcements. And also, when you call in to talk with us on the air, Cindy will be that bright and pleasant southern accent that you will hear. Take your call and get a little bit of information from you so that we can warmly welcome you to the show. Before we introduce our awesome guest, let me remind you how you can get involved in the show. The number to call in is 714-583-9555. That number again, 714-583-6955. So I would recommend if you want to call in that you do so soon, because we are going to have, I suspect, a lot of callers tonight, because this is a really powerful topic, and we have a really knowledgeable person with us tonight to give us insights. So, enough of that. Let me introduce you to our awesome guest. Marbeth Dunn is a dear friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time, and she has always impressed me with her knowledge and wisdom when it comes to the law of attraction. She's known by people who love and appreciate her as the Joy to Abundance strategist, and she views her life's mission as to bring joy and happiness to millions. Marbeth is an empath and intuitive. She's extremely gifted. She has this wonderful ability of pinpointing to a great deal of accuracy the issues presenting with you so that you can have some clearing and healing. I could go on and on and on about her, but I just want to bring her on now and welcome her. Marbeth, thank you for being with us tonight.
Woohoo! I feel so good to be here, Brad.
I have been trying to get you on my show for such a long time, but you are so busy, and with my crazy schedule and yours, it's taken a while, but so grateful that you're able to be with us tonight.
Me too. I've been waiting for this. I know we're going to have a great time tonight. I feel it.
And we'll be sharing. Marbeth is so busy. She's got so many projects going. And we'll be telling everybody about all those projects and how they can get involved and connect with you towards the end of the show. For now, let's begin, as we always do, with a guided visualization, and I have asked Marbeth, because she does such a beautiful job with this, I've asked her if she would lead us tonight, and she has graciously said yes. So, Marbeth, I will turn the time over to you, and I get to just sit back and ride the journey with you. So, the time is yours.
This is perhaps my favorite visualization. And this came to me in India a couple of years ago when I was sick and I was feeling kind of down and I wasn't feeling like myself. And at the time I was writing a book about meditation and exercises and mantras. And I was just feeling so low that when I opened what I had written, it was as though it were written in Greek or Latin. It was a language I didn't understand. And so I realized how important it is to create a bridge so that people would be able to access this information. And this particular visualization exercise is a result, and it's my favorite. I totally love it. And I call it bigger than the universe. So if you can just sit back, take a deep breath through your nostrils, inhale all the way into your belly. We're inhaling all the prana, the life force energy into the belly, and exhaling through your nostrils. Just inhale with me all the way into your belly. And exhale through your nostrils. And one more time. Follow the breath. And exhale. And imagine that just like Alice in Wonderland, that you have the power to grow bigger. And as you, in your awareness, start to expand, you can either grow through your awareness just without any boundaries. You just see yourself experiencing yourself getting larger. Or if it helps you to visualize yourself, much like Alice in Wonderland, visualize your body growing. It doesn't matter. It's what works for you. As you expand, you notice that now you're bigger than your house. And as you continue to expand, you're bigger than your city. You just noticed how large you are. And it feels really good, really expansive. As you continue to grow, and now you notice that you're bigger than your state. And you're bigger than the country. And you are still growing. And as you continue to expand, you notice that you're bigger than the whole continent. Just noticing without any judgment, you just notice that you're growing, and now you are larger, bigger than the whole earth, and you're still growing. And you're bigger now than our solar system. You can see all the planets. Earth is so small, you could hold it in your hand. And you're still growing. And you're bigger now than our sun. You're bigger than our Milky Way. Than that whole galaxy. And you are still growing and expanding. And now you are bigger than the whole universe. Now from this perspective, you are pure love. You are pure joy. You are innocent. You have no limits. You are all powerful. Just feel what it feels like to be this expansive, to be grander than the universe, because this is your identity. This is who you are. The essence of who you are is pure love. It's pure joy, and there are no limits to who you are. You've given yourself the limits that you have. And from this perspective, you're bigger than any of the challenges that have been holding you back and keeping you stuck. If you think of something that has been hampering you, and keeping you feeling small and diminished, you're so much bigger now. You're much bigger than your challenges. They're tiny, infinitesimal specks compared to you. And when you're ready, just take another couple of breaths. Feel yourself settling back into the body. But the body is just a very small part of you. Now that you know the secret of who you are. So as you come back into the body, keep that feeling of expansiveness. Remember, I'm not a body. I'm much greater than a body. This is who I am. So wiggle your fingers and your toes. And just be here with me. Be here with Brad and Cindy. How do you feel, Brad?
That was beautiful. Oh, yummy. Oh,
yummy.
yes. Absolutely
good.
Delicious. We have a joke here on the show, and I can always tell when we have a high vibration guest on, because all kinds of interesting things happen with the electronics, and tonight is no different. So, how fun is that?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been having interesting things happen, not just with electronics, but I've had material things vanish and then appear in different places.
Yeah.
It's been interesting.
I don't know
if they're going into the other dimension or I am.
I think as we all move through this amazing, wonderful, scary, fantastic, soothing, peaceful, chaotic, crazy shift that we're all going through, I think we're more and more getting information and insights that we're all energy, and that it's all about our thoughts and our perceptions. And I'm reminded of something that Abraham says all the time, and that is, you'll never be able to find something that you believe is lost.
That's true.
Because if I've had that happen to me so many times. It's like I know I left my reading glasses right there next to my book, but I can't find them, and I look all over, and I look all over, and I look all over, and I cannot find these, quote, lost glasses. And so I look and look and look, and then finally I stop and, you know, kind of have a V8 moment. and it's like, okay, I know they're here. And so sure enough, you know, there they are. Just where I thought I'd left them, but when I'm convinced that they're lost, that I can't see them. So I've had that happen to me as well.
Had that happen to me a few weeks ago. I was in Atlanta Airport and got a new wheelie bag, you know. So I transferred my books and all of my papers and everything into that new bag. And when I was at the Edgar Cayce Center, ARE Foundation, and I was there for a workshop. And when I got up the next morning, I'm looking for my notebook, not there. And this book had all of my computer passwords in it. And, you know, we dumped the bag. There's nothing in there. My notebook is gone. My diary is gone. And, I mean, everything else was there. And so I called the airport. I called where we were. Nothing was there. Do you know, a week and a half later, I put some books in that bag. And I was elsewhere. When I came home, I reached in to pull out one of the books I had just put in the bag, and there was my red book right between the other books. Just sitting there like, here I am.
Yep.
So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I didn't have the sense that, you know, I needed to change my passwords or anything like that. You know, I just felt okay about it, but it was just one of these kind of a strange, like, I wonder where it went.
And it's, I've often joked on here and with my friends and loved ones that two of my spirit guides are like these pranksters. In fact, I've had like light workers say that, like, the three of us were like almost like three fraternity frat brothers that were always pranking each other, and they love to mess with me. And when I start taking myself too seriously, they like to, you know, just kind of remind me that life is not serious, you know, and so they keep me humble. That's that's for sure. So Marbeth, I know who you are today, which is this beautiful, huge, huge heart, loving, very, your energy is just so clear and resonant, just, but I would suspect, like all of us, your life has taken some interesting journeys to get you to where you are. Oftentimes we have to discover what we don't want before we can come into alignment with what we do want. So if you would share with us the journey of how you got to be where you are today.
Okay. So, well, I'm so happy now. My life is just really, if you had told me, you know, when I was a young girl that I would, you know, really, that it would get better and better and better the older I got, I would have laughed at you. You know, like, oh, you're older over the hill. But no, when I was young, I was a mess. I didn't know that I had the power to take responsibility for my thoughts. You know, I thought that the way things were was locked in stone, and I didn't really have a choice. And my life was really pretty sad. So as I discovered that I had the ability to change my thoughts, to ask to see things differently, to know that I had these amazing helpers, you know, to have spirit and angels, and I could just, you know, if I was having an issue, I could just ask for help. Who knew? I didn't know that, you know, and when you think that you have to go it alone and you have a victim mentality, you're going to be stuck there because you're not taking responsibility for your thoughts. I didn't know that I could take responsibility for my thoughts. I was just sort of letting things be the way they were because I thought that's the way they had to be. So it's been a wonderful ride. I wouldn't change a minute of it, but to be here now and to just really feel joyful and happy and know that I'm living my purpose and that's what I want for everybody. I want everyone to know that you don't have to be stuck. I can't tell you how many years I was stuck. And just to know that, yeah, you don't have to do it alone. You can change your thoughts. You can change your perceptions. You don't have to be locked into any ideas. You know, when you start to realize that we're not, that that we're not these bodies, that we are created in the image of our Creator, and He's not an old man sitting up in the sky, you know? Our bodies are not created in the image of our Creator. We are unlimited spirit. And that's really why I wanted to start with that one visualization, because it gives you that sense of, this is who I am. I am pure love and joy, and I don't have any limits. So, yes, no, I definitely had my story. And and I, you know, when I think about that young woman who, I had such terrible asthma, Brad. I couldn't breathe, you know. It was such a struggle. And felt so disempowered. And you're a man, so you don't understand that women have an additional sense of disempowerment, because we've been disempowered for thousands of years, really. So to be coming in now, we're being led by the divine feminine in this new age of the intuitive, and it will all balance out, the masculine and the feminine. But right now it's the intuitive parts of us that's leading this new age, and it's just so beautiful that we women are coming into their power. But to not have been there and to be where I am now is just so amazing.
So true. I had to smile when talking about early life. It reminded me of when I was in seventh grade, I did a writing assignment. And I think the writing assignment was something like, when I turn 40, what will your life be like when you turn 40? And I wrote, I hope I'm dead before I'm 40, because when you're 40 years old, everything is downhill from there. Your body starts wearing out, and so my mom, bless her heart, on one of my recent birthdays, had kept that, and of course, you know, now I'm 56, and so she handed that to me and said, you know, aren't you glad that this isn't true? And it really is, because when I hit about 35 is when I started to really wake up and started to look at my life and instead of how can I do this so that I keep this person happy and this person happy and this person happy, and I realized that I was working at a place that I had long since stopped enjoying working, but I felt a responsibility to be there. I was in a church and a religion that didn't fit for me, but I didn't want to disappoint my family. And it was all of this, like, awakening of, oh, so maybe that's why I'm so miserable. It's because I'm not living my life. I'm living, trying to be what everybody else thinks, what everybody else wants me to be, and literally tying myself into a pretzel trying to do it. And I think one of the greatest times in our life is when we come to the realization that what other people want for us is their stuff, and the incredible empowerment that comes when we start to listen within and say, what is my truth?
That's very
everybody
true.
Everybody in my church is, everyone in my family is very religious, and I'm not. I'm very spiritual, but I'm not religious at all, and so, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say the same thing happened for me. I think it was towards the end of my marriage. This was probably, about 10, 12 years ago. And I was seeing a therapist, and he said, you know, Marbeth, you are doing for everyone else. What are you doing for yourself? And I thought, And I said, I don't know. He said, well, you have to find something that you can do for yourself and do that, you know, at least once a week. So I thought about it, and then it hit me. I said, well, I used to be a painter when I lived in Haiti. I don't know if you know, I lived on a mountaintop in Haiti for quite a while, for 7 years. I lived in Haiti for 17 years, and I was a painter. And so I thought, well, I used to paint. And so it took me a long time to even remember that that was something I enjoyed and to figure out that it would be good for me to do it. And, you know, and I think it's so important that you do live your own life. I didn't know. I mean, I had already gone through a spiritual transformation, but I was still stuck in these particular patterns that I had been in my marriage. You know, where I was, you know, I just totally given up everything about me and was trying to please everybody else. It doesn't work. You know, you got to put that oxygen mask on yourself first. You have to take care of yourself. Yeah. You have to listen to what is making your heart sing. And if you haven't done it for so long, ooh, that was hard to even think about. What would I like to do? I could, you know, it was like,
exactly.
It was like I had,
yeah,
had lost that muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talk about that, you know, being male, there's a lot of that female challenges and stuff that I haven't gone through, and I totally understand and agree. One of the main messages in our society is that we historically, parents taught children, number one, don't listen to your own sense of right and wrong. Listen to me. And if you want to be happy, you got to keep parent happy. And when you listen to yourself, you get into trouble and all these negative things. And so we grow up, and it's no wonder so many of us are people pleasers. I totally know what you mean. One of the things I often do when I work with clients is I ask them, you need to spend 30 minutes a day on recharging your battery. And Marbeth, I'm sure it's no surprise to you that I often probably 70% of the time or more, I get a blank stare back of, I have no idea. I have no idea what recharges my battery. I can tell you what my husband likes. I can tell you what my kids like. I can tell you what the milkman likes, but I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a total disconnect, you know, and in order to really access that part of yourself, it's like a muscle that you have to start training.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to be of service to others, to be selfless. You know, Mahatma Gandhi said the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in service to others, and that's very true. But it's also important to take that time and recharge yourself, whether it's by meditation or walking in nature or just doing what, or, you know, taking a bubble bath, whatever it is that you need to do for you. It makes you feel good. You know, I had another aspect of my background, which I know some of your listeners are going to identify with, is that I'm an empath, and I didn't know it until until maybe 10 years ago. I thought there was really something majorly wrong with me because I couldn't go to a party without, you know.
Yes.
And you are too. You're empathic.
Yes, very much so.
So, you know what I'm saying. I go to a party and I'd have these major like asthma attacks because I was feeling like all this other energy and I didn't know what was wrong or what was happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then the other thing is that when you haven't a very strong sense of self, and we don't really have strong boundaries, it's very easy to pick up other people's energy as well. You could be carrying other people's stuff. So I had several of these things going on. I just really thought for years there was something wrong with me, and I'm clairsentient. So, you know, what happens very often is I'll walk out my house, and all of a sudden my chest will just start to clench. And I used to think that, well, you know, there's who knows what this is. But then I realized my body was talking to me and was saying, you know, you're going to this place, and the energy there is discordant. And so I would tap into, okay, where am I going? Oh, okay, and how can I fix this? And then so maybe it's just a matter of aligning the energy with me, because I do work with energy and consciousness, or, you know, maybe it's a matter of just shielding myself, putting myself inside a disco ball or something, so that I'm feeling protected, and then I just feel my lungs just open up and I feel comfortable and I can go there and I'm fine. So I have a sense that some of our listeners have similar situations and may not have noticed or, you know, even know how to deal with being empathic, because it can be challenging. It's an amazing gift, really, but it also can be extremely challenging.
I can so relate. When I was in my early, mid-20s to late-20s, I used to get so frustrated because I love people, and I'd love to be around people, but when I would go to like a state fair or go to a concert or something where there was a lot of people, I would just get like overwhelmed, and I started thinking, well, maybe I'm like antisocial, or maybe I just don't like people, but I, like you say, I had not learned how to filter all this energy and all these emotions that were coming from all directions. I can walk through a mall or in a state fair or county fair or something, and if I don't have my shields up, I'm feeling the emotions of everyone that I pass. And so it's like a roller coaster. And for a long time, I thought, you know, Brad, I think you're going crazy here, because you're all over the map. But when you learn how to put those protective shields up, then you can be at peace with where you are.
Yeah, you know, and I don't always, I've reached a point, you know, for initially, you know, I would just put myself in a bubble of light or in a disco ball, you know, and just like the energy just kind of go do its thing all around me. And, you know, and now I don't really do that. You know, it's like I've gotten myself to a place, maybe through all the healing work that I've done, I've just gotten myself to a place where, in general, I feel good. But, you know, I used to go to hotels and, you know, and if I didn't clear the room energetically before staying there, I would have issues, you know. And it wasn't just me. One time we had a cat with us, and the cat yowled all night long because there was stuff in that room energetically. I didn't even think about clearing it at the time. But, you know, you have to take care of yourself. So it's good to know what you know.
Exactly. And in order to do that, and again, it goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, all of us, but especially women, really need to confront those old belief systems of everybody comes first. You know, I joke with clients and friends all the time. I say, okay, Marbeth, so what you're telling me is after you've taken care of your husband and your kids and the neighbors and your parents and your in-laws and the world hunger and the Middle East crisis and the ozone layer, and after you've taken care of all of that, then you'll look at what what Marbeth needs. And they laugh, but there's a lot of truth to that, too. It's like we, I'd like to call it putting ourselves on the bottom of our never-ending list of priorities. And the problem with that is that when we do that, then we get to the stage of burnout because our batteries have gone so long without being recharging, and then we just start, like, beating on ourselves. You know, it's like the old phrase, beating a dead horse. We're so exhausted, and yet there's this tyrant inside that's just saying, you got to go. What's the matter with you? You're lazy. You're worthless. You're no good. And it doesn't work. And you have to take time. One of the things I often say is the greatest gift you can give your kids, your partner, your employer, your business if you're self-employed, the greatest gift you can give all the people that you love and care about is a fully recharged, fully energized you.
Absolutely.
And that seems to kind of shift it from being selfish to actually that you're doing it for, you know, for others as well as yourself.
Well, yes, and I know, I feel that now I'm setting a good example for my daughters, you know, to show them that, yes, you have to take care of yourself first. And it's, you know, it's important to tap into that. But also, you know, giving is wonderful. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to do. It does raise your vibrational frequency. But it doesn't, you don't want it to come from a place of resentment because you're just so exhausted that there's no room there, you know, to take care of other people.
Yeah, it's all about balance. You know, there, we all know people in our lives that are totally self-absorbed and, you know, they don't care about anybody but themselves.
Right.
And that's not healthy. But it's also not healthy to be totally self-denying either. You need to find that balance where you are recharging your battery and then through that you're able to serve and love and freely give to others because you have so much more to give.
Yes. It's really important.
So one of the things that I've always loved about you is that you are like this ambassador of joy, and through that, you help people to create health and wealth and happiness. How does that come together? How does being an advocate of joy bring us health, wealth, and prosperity?
Well, actually, they have been doing a lot of studies, you know, with positive psychology recently, and they've been doing studies that happier people who are more joyful, actually earn. This was a study done in Western Sydney, Australia recently. They did a study of people in the workplace, and people who were happier had earned actually $1,800 a year more than the people who weren't and were more productive. Because, and it's interesting too, now this is another study. This was done at a combination of UCLA and University of North Carolina. They did a study measuring two different kinds of happiness, two different flavors of happiness, shall we say. One is eudaimonic happiness, which is living a life of purpose. Think of Mother Teresa, you know, somebody who's really living a life, living their purpose. And then they compare that with hedonic happiness, you think hedonistic, people who are living more for their own pleasure. When they measured the immune system, they measured the blood and of both types of happy people, they discovered that the people who were living a life of purpose have a much stronger immune system, and they're healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting. So joy is really important for being healthier, and also in terms of wealth. When you're in a state of joy, you're vibrating at a high vibrational frequency. And so when you're vibrating there, you're closer to the vibration of our Creator. So you're vibrating, you know, at a very high frequency, and that's when you can basically just pull in what feels good to you. You start to find things just manifesting very easily. And so when you're in that state, it's much easier to create the life that you desire. You're in a state of lower resistance. So it's much easier for that to come in. And it's not difficult to move up into a higher vibration. I know most of our listeners have heard how good gratitude is for you. It's really important to appreciate everything in your life and to feel more grateful. And one of the things is that when you're more positive and you're more grateful, you can add up to 7 years to your life. They found that teens who are grateful are 10 times less likely to start smoking. They have found that when you're more grateful, that your relationships are better. Your income is approximately 7% higher. And you're more involved with your local community. So there's a lot of really good reasons to look at gratitude. I'm writing a book. It's almost finished. It's called The Joy
Wonderful.
Strategy, 31 Days to Health, Wealth, and Happiness. And one of the exercises in my book is looking in the mirror and writing down in your journal 10 things that you appreciate about yourself. Well, the first time I did this exercise, I got to number 5, and I couldn't think of anything. I was stuck. It was quite an eye-opener because I realized that if anybody had said, Marbeth, tell me 10 things that are wrong with you, I would have rattled them right off.
Oh, yeah. We're all good at that.
You know what I'm saying. And so, but what was interesting is that, you know, I was pretty shocked. And then throughout the day, all of these wonderful things that I appreciated about myself started to pop into my head. It was as I changed the focus, my mind started to find, instead of thinking what's wrong with you, I'm thinking what's right, all these other things, you know, the positive things were coming into my head. So it's really important when you start to shift your focus to what can I be grateful for today, you're going to start noticing more things to feel gratitude for, more things to appreciate, and it's going to have really positive benefits for you.
Yes, absolutely. Marbeth, we need to take a short break, but we'll be back in about 2 minutes, so stay tuned.
Thanks. All right.
Hi, this is Jeffrey Hoppe for the Crimson Circle. Thanks for listening to today's program on The Awakening Zone, the International Network for Empowered Human Awakening. The Awakening Zone is produced and sponsored by The Crimson Circle on the web at www.crimsoncircle.com. The website is a safe space to experience your spiritual journey without membership or dues and no dogma or rules. It's a gathering place for anyone who is awakening, no matter what their background or beliefs. The Crimson Circle Library contains over 10 years of some of the most insightful and provocative spiritual information available today, with channeled messages from the popular Tobias, Tumi Lal Singh, and Adama St. Germain. Everything in the library is free. Just log in and download it in text, audio, or video formats. On the website, you can also find out about upcoming workshops and events, including tours to sacred and powerful sites around the world. Also, check out the store for a wide selection of home study courses and special topic channels. And finally, see if there's a Crimson Circle certified teacher in your area. They offer classes on subjects ranging from death transitions, spiritual birthing, ascension, clearing energy imbalances, and creating your own reality. With over 500 certifications worldwide, there's likely to be a Crimson Circle teacher near you. When you go to the Crimson Circle website, you'll see right away that you are not alone. There are humans all over the planet who, like you, are discovering the God within. Crimson Circle at www.crimsoncircle.com, proud sponsors of the Awakening Zone Radio Network. And now, back to today's program.
You were just talking about, talking about gremlins. My mic just went off and on and off and on twice, so hopefully I'm back. So, Marbeth, we were talking before the break about negative self-talk, and one of the things I like to do every once in a while on my Facebook page is I'll post a question of if someone were to follow you around all day and talk to you the way you talk to you, what would you do? And I get responses like, oh, I'd pop him in the mouth, or I would tell him to get out of my life, or whatever. And it's like, well, if it's not okay for someone else to talk to you, you know, why is it okay for you to talk to yourself that way? And one of the things I find that's really interesting is some people have been doing it for so long that they've become desensitized to it, and that the chatter is still going on and it's still having a detrimental effect, but they don't even notice it. And so I'll say to them, for 24 hours, just be that witness. Just observe how you talk to yourself when things happen. Do you say, oh, well, that's okay, you know, we'll get it next time, or do you, oh, you stupid idiot, you fool, and blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny because people will come back with this astounded look on their face, and they're like, I've got Adolf Hitler in my head. and he's brutal. And it's like, exactly. So isn't it time that you gave that voice an eviction notice and replaced it with a loving supporter and cheerleader? But we have to start paying attention to how we talk to ourselves. And you're so right. I think every one of our listeners could probably fill up a page of what do I do wrong.
What's wrong with me? You don't want to ask that question because your mind loves you so much. It's going to start to think of everything it can do to answer that question. It'll start listing everything that's wrong with you. So if you start to focus on what can I appreciate about myself, what is wonderful about me, then your mind is going to start to think about all the wonderful things about you. So it's just a matter of shifting your focus and shifting your perception.
And changing the questions that we ask ourselves.
Definitely change it. Well, the questions are so interesting. I find that open-ended questions are the gateway into the quantum field of possibilities. And if we can just ask the right questions, or just all day, you know, just ask yourself, you know, like Access Consciousness says, well, how can it get better than this? That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
How can or what can I do to feel inspired today? And you don't answer it. Just let the universe answer that for you.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to feel better about myself? Don't answer it. It's, you know, the question opens that field of possibilities. And when you open that field of possibilities and you don't try to control it or close it, that's when you're opening yourself up to miracles.
Yeah, yeah. How can things get even better?
That's right.
How can I feel even more blessed than I do right now?
Mm-hmm.
And, And you're so right, because so often we subconsciously ask questions like, oh my gosh, is there anything else that could go wrong today? And our mind, being this obedient servant, says, okay, I can help you out with that, bud. Happy to do it.
Let's see what we can do to help you out.
Yes. So another thing, if my listeners sound like I'm like you're one of your biggest fans, I probably because I am. One of the things I also know that you do is you help people who are like starting up a business and getting started to more successfully launch that business or that career. What are some of the key things that you work with people to help them to become successful?
Well, generally, I like to work with people who are feeling stuck because, you know, as an empath and an intuitive, when I work with people one-on-one, I can feel where they're stuck. And I can, in their body, you know, we have many bodies. We just, you know, again, we're not this one seemingly solid piece of flesh. We have, in Kundalini Yoga, Yogi Bhajan said we had 10 bodies. But I tend to feel more of the energetic body, which totally overlaps the physical body. And I can feel where people are holding their stuff, and they can feel it too. For the most part, sometimes people don't feel anything. And I did have a student who wasn't able to feel anything for about maybe close to 40 years. And now she can feel. She's so excited she can go to the movies and cry, you know, because she's a helicopter pilot. You know, she's been, you know, in a man's world, and she just had a disconnect from her feelings. Now she can feel. But it's really important when people are stuck to recognize that There are certain elements that I find in my experience of working with people that keeps them stuck. And the first one I would say would be the hurts and losses that they've experienced, that they may feel that they resolved, it's in the past, it's over, it's done with, but because we're patterns of light and information, really, and we hold things that are issues that are not resolved in different places in our bodies. And so when I work with people, I like to tap in and say, okay, what's going on here? And the interesting thing, this has developed over the last year or so, that my body becomes like a computer receptor. So their body starts to communicate with me, and I'll feel where they're holding their stuff in their bodies. And because I'm an intuitive, I know what it is. Sometimes I'll actually, you know, if they have an issue with like a person in their life, I'll see the person, you know, and I'll start describing them. I'll say, you know, who is this person? And then they'll tell me, oh, that's the person I was just telling you about. So it's kind of interesting, but I get this information. And then because, well, for example, say I'm working with someone and I'll feel my root chakra starts to feel a lot of pressure, and I'll just tap in and say, okay, what is this? You know, and the root chakra, you know, we have all these seven energy centers, the root chakra has to do with security. It has to do with tribal issues. It has to do with money. It has to do with several different things. So I'll just tap in and say, well, what is it? And it's an ancestral experience. There's something, a pattern that they're dealing with that happens to come in from the mother's lineage. You know, so I'll just become aware of that. And then once I write that down, then that I call them indicators, you know, disappears. And then I might feel like this big clenching going on in my solar plexus. So I take a look at that. Does it have to do with relationships or personal power or their relationship with themselves or what is it? And then I'll get that information. And then I get this whole rundown from their body wisdom. And then I'm able to then ask their body, well, how would you like to deal with it? You know, so I kind of try to get out as much out of the way as I can, because I think it's important for them to, and it's more empowering for people to do the work, you know, as much as possible. But my gift is I can hone in on exactly where they're stuck, what it is, and what to do, like, immediately. So, you know, the results are really fast. You know, it's just zoom, 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 done.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's been really interesting. So that's mostly the way I work with people. But then I've also, you know, I also like to guide them to, you know, because I have been learning more marketing, and, you know, in addition to my woo-woo stuff, you know, to guide them, you know, like what's going on, you know, with your business? You know, do you have a business plan? Have you, you know, what can you do to think about planning is also important. But I find that it's, you know, if they're being held back or stuck in their careers or their personal relationships, if we can clear up those losses, you know, and just tap into what is it. And the thing about losses that's so interesting is that, you know, you think, well, loss, well, you know, I don't have anybody who died in my family or whatever, or they may. But then there's other ways that we lose people. You know, you could have moved away. You could have, you know, people, you know, your parents had divorced, you know, a divorce, or, you know, there's things happen, relationships end, marriages end. And so that's just one facet of loss. They're the lifestyle losses. If people, you know, maybe you've lost your home, or you've lost a job, or you've injured yourself. I broke my foot maybe 5-6 months ago, and that was a lifestyle loss. I could not move around the way I normally did. It was very frustrating. Now, that luckily for me was temporary. But people lose their lifestyle through illness, through the loss of their home, through the loss of their income. Those are lifestyle losses, and they can be impactful. And if you don't recognize that that's a loss and you don't deal with it, that can be, you know, something that's going to block your energy flow. And the third thing is what I call hidden losses. For example, if you have been in a relationship and, you know, it's ended, but you realize, well, I lost my personal power there. I lost my self-respect. And maybe I feel like I'm getting older and I don't feel as young as I used to, so I feel like I've lost my youth or my sexiness or maybe my ability to, you know, to be, you know, carefree. Whatever it is, those are losses. And, you know, you may not even be conscious that you're dealing with them, but they're important. So those are reasons that we're stuck. The other thing, number two, so the first part would be losses. The second part would be self-limiting beliefs. And, you know about those. It's, you know, you think,
yeah.
You know, it's like Henry Ford said, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about all the reasons you can't do something, or you start to do something and all this negative chatter just pops up in your head and says, you can't do that. What's the matter with you? Why are you even trying to do that? You're too stupid to do that. Those are all limiting beliefs. So that's the second thing that crops up. The third thing would be energetic causes, because these energetic causes are the third thing. And that could be, like we talked about, you know, being empathic. You might be picking up other people's stuff. You know, you might have, I had a client who had a work situation. She was a teacher, and the work situation, she was very empathic, and she had students that were, I guess, intrusive energetically. Her work environment was toxic. These are all things that can hold you back and keep you stuck. So that's what I like to work with people.
Yes. And you're so right. And it's almost, if you can look at it as such, it's almost comical, because the human ego wants tremendously to be right. And so if if I am thinking, oh, I'm going to get a cold, that every part of me conspires to make that come true. I have known so many people that will say, oh, every time there's a flu bug that goes, I get it. And
well, that's certainly creating something, isn't it?
And it's like, well, you're right. I remember once I had a coworker, and we were chatting, talking, and someone sneezed, and she looked at me with this terrified look, and she said, oh, no, there is a virus in the air. By tomorrow, I'm going to be coughing, and by Thursday or Friday, I'm going to have to call in sick. And do you know what? She was right. She called in, and,
right.
And she spent four days in bed, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and she came back with this proud look on her face of, I told you so, and it's like, well, congratulations on being right. So
yeah.
And I think so many of us don't realize how powerful our self-talk is, and what the way, you know, people will tell me, well, I have a partner who's very negative and always putting me down, or I have a, you know, my mom was very negative, or my dad was very verbally abusive. But the problem with that is that whether you're married to them or a parent or whatever, they only are with you a few hours a day. You are with you. You have to listen to your self-talk 24/7. And so how we talk to ourselves is so much more powerful. And as you said a little while ago, Marbeth, when we start changing the way we talk to ourselves, lo and behold, we seem to start attracting people who also talk positively to us and about us. So it's all vibration.
It is an intention. You know, I want to tell you that several years ago, you know, I noticed that I had a pattern for attracting narcissistic people into my life. And one day I just out loud, this just came right through me. I said, I am now allowing into my life only those who will cherish and love me. And I sever completely all ties with anyone who won't. Well, the nicest people came into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
The others just faded away.
Yep. And what a beautiful example of that, of the power of intention. And I, you know, people, I'll be talking with them and they'll say, I never have that happen to me. And I say to them, you know, be mindful of this intention that you're holding, and especially those I am statements. I am failure. I am lazy. I am financially incompetent or whatever. Those are so powerful because, as you so beautifully said, Marbeth, our minds and our whole system listen so carefully, and they don't take it as just, you know, our mind doesn't take it as just like idle chatter. To them, it's like you filled out a purchase order that says, I want one miserable day. And they say, okay, I don't understand why you want this, but I will fulfill it. So,
right?
Yeah.
Which is so powerful.
So, yeah. Marbeth, we have a caller. And Tammy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brad. Hi, Marbeth.
Hi.
Hi.
I was hoping I could get you to have a look for me because I'm having a problem with being stuck.
Okay. Well,
is that okay to ask?
Of course it is. Okay, here's what I want you to do.
Tammy, I love you.
God is my big brother of the heart.
Put your hand over your heart and bring your awareness under your hand and think about someone or something that you love very much. It could also be the thought of a beautiful, innocent baby or puppy, a kitten, something very sweet and innocent. There you go. There you go. Okay, and the first thing I am noticing is the root chakra, and I'm just going to tap in and see. There's fear there, hon. This is fear. And I'm noticing there's almost like the fear is creating a rigidity. It's almost like it's hemming you in. It's keeping you, I'm just noticing like this stuckness is around the solar plexus area, which would be where your power is. So you're feeling kind of hemmed in. And so, and then on your chest, I'm noticing there's a sadness, there's a heaviness there, but in your throat, I'm feeling tears. And I'm going to just say, start with your throat. Just bring your awareness into your throat and just feel. Feel what's going on there. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to hold this space just with me. Just kind of go into the throat and just feel it. It's important not to resist your feelings. They're there to let you know that they have a message for you. There you go. It's starting to shift for you. Keep focusing on your throat. It's clearing, but there's still more. There are things that you haven't been saying that you want to say, but you've been keeping yourself back from saying them. You're not speaking your truth. Is this resonating with you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So now I would go into your chest. And there's a sadness there. I'm just feeling the energy clearing. Okay, so we don't need to know what the story is. Just feel, can you feel that there's like a heaviness in your chest?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, just feel it. And I'm going to hold the space, you know, so I want you to just kind of go inside that feeling and just feel it. It's not even yours. You're carrying other people's stuff. So what I would suggest is we're just going to bring in some angels right now and ask them to just take this away for you because you don't need this. There you go. Oh, that feels much better.
Yes.
Wow, that feels much better. So... okay, now the fear is the reason, and you've been stuck in what? In terms of, there's more in your chest now that just came up. Going back, before we go back to the fear, this is more stuff. And this is yours. Okay, so can you bring your awareness under, in your upper chest? Can you feel that? Okay, so just holding this for you. Okay, so that's already starting to shift. Good. So emotions are very much like beach balls. And, you know, so when you start to repress and suppress your feelings, it takes a lot of energy. It's like pushing beach balls under the water. they don't want to stay there. It takes a lot of energy to hold them down. The same thing with your feelings and your emotions. Okay, so this, okay, let's see what else. In terms of feeling stuck, yeah, that's still there. And I think it's a matter of safety for you. It hasn't felt safe for you to move forward. And I'm going to say that I always say safety first. You have to feel safe before you move forward. But I'm also going to say start to feel your feelings and start to ask yourself, what if I could move out a little bit on my own? What would that feel like? And don't answer the question, you know, because we're kind of moving into that quantum field of possibilities. What would it be like if I could start to shift things for myself? What if I could just open up to things being a little more open, a little bit more different for me? You know, so you start to open up gradually, and there's no resistance that way.
Okay.
You feel that? It feels more open, doesn't it?
It does. I don't need a direct answer.
No, you don't need a direct answer. That's also part of the fear, is trying to, you know, I have to know this and it has to be this way. No, it doesn't. If think by opening up to possibilities, you're allowing much better outcomes into your life. So, that feels a little different?
It does.
Good. Good. You have any other questions?
I think the main thing is when you were talking about the law of attraction and raising your vibration, I know, like me and a few other people, you find it easier to raise your vibration, but when it comes time to receive anything, you can't get into that mode to receive or allow.
Yeah, and you know where that comes from?
Fear.
It comes from, no, it's not fear. It's from, I don't deserve. That's a very, 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 very common situation around women, especially. You don't feel, you're really comfortable giving, but you're not comfortable receiving. So you're going to want to start to ask yourself, what would it be like if I could receive things? You know, just start the process. You know, and be real gentle and easy with yourself. Don't judge anything because it's all information.
Right.
It's just a different way of seeing it. Like, gee, I wonder what it would be like if I could be, you know, a receiver. If I could. And the thing is that, you know, A Course in Miracles tells us that giving and receiving is the same. It is. When you give to other people, it feels good. But by not allowing them to give to you, you're stopping the flow.
True. A lot of people do that, including me. Yeah, that's common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you can start now by just using those beautiful open-ended questions. You can start to shift things. You can use them as a tool.
Yeah, I like those. That's really easy to do because you can apply it to anything.
You can apply it to anything, and it really cuts through the resistance. It makes it much easier.
Well, that was really helpful. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Marbeth, it's so, just to echo and maybe amplify, it's so important to, when we start asking those loving, allowing questions to receive it without judgment, because oftentimes it's like if you were to go to your teenage child and say and you want to establish a dialogue with them about drugs and alcohol and school and so forth, and you say, so does anyone in your school smoke or drink? And they kind of tenderly say, yeah, I know of a few people. And you blow up and you say, well, they're horrible, terrible people. Tell me who they are, and I'm going to go tell their parents. And blah, blah, blah. that, they just shut down. And that's what we do, is we ask, you know, what, how can I be more loving and allowing to myself? And an answer will come. And if we don't receive that answer with love and kindness and openness, then the mind just says, I ain't talking. Because when
right.
I share with you, I get beat up. So just being loving and I think one of the biggest challenges for many of us is to be non-judgmental with ourselves. We tend to be much less judgmental with others than we are with ourselves. But as you said, Margaret, that's the key to being able to lovingly shift our paradigm, is to be able to receive those insights with love and non-judgment.
Yes, that's very true. Because when you're up in that higher vibrational frequency, you're coming from a more neutral perspective, and you're not emotionally charged about things. I was on the phone today with a woman who, you know, was very stuck financially, and she said, I use the law of attraction. It's easy for me to manifest things, but I'm just so stuck in this particular area, and the reason is because there's a charge on it. If you have an emotional charge on something, it's not going to, it creates a resistance, and you're not going to be able to create it. Whereas, you know, if you can then remove the charge, you know, it's like, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I was, I took myself off of all the dating sites. You know, I'd been on all of these different dating sites, and I was becoming a Kundalini yoga instructor. The training was so intense, I just said, ugh, I can't even deal with you know, the thought of dating right now. It's just too intense. So I took myself off the dating sites, and don't you know, that's when I met my fiancé. You have to kind of let go, and you know, it's when you keep checking, are we there yet, are we there yet, are we there yet, you're not going to get there. So you have to kind of just back away and just think of this as just, you know, this is just, it's just an experience. What I'm receiving is just information. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to label it. It just is. By just being aware of something, it will automatically start to shift. That's what one of the things that we've learned from quantum physics, that very famous double slit experiment, where they were testing these photons, you know, going through a slit as a particle. When it went through two slits, it would actually split itself in two and go through, change from being a particle into a wave, and then the waves would interfere with each set of wave going through the two slits. Each one became a wave. And they would interfere with each other, creating an interference pattern. That's how scientists were able to figure out what happened. But when they put a monitor on one of the slits, the particle, instead of doing whatever it wanted to, becoming a wave or, you know, interfering with itself, whatever it wanted to do, once they put the monitor on it to observe it, it went back to being a particle and just would not do anything else. So when we observe things, and just notice, you're already shifting what's happening in your material world. Now you can collapse the wave.
Yeah.
It's hard to be patient, too, especially if it's financial, that you're trying to attract abundance into your life. And if you're not, your life isn't very abundant right now, it's really hard to raise
your... I know.
Your
it's a mindset. It's a mindset. And years ago, I'm going to give you an example from my own life. I discovered A Course in Miracles maybe 27 years ago. And I was reading it, you know, I was reading it so much every day. my vibration got very, very high. I started having visions and things. I would just think of something and it would manifest by itself. And I was driving this car that had holes in the floorboards. It had come in from Canada. I was living in Haiti. And this car, I was driving this station wagon, and the holes are in the floorboards, and the thing is rusting all around me. But instead of focusing on the car I was driving, I just had this sense of God's got the perfect vehicle showing up for me. And that's what I just trusted, and I didn't pay any attention to what I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And within like 2 weeks, this woman walked into, I had a little shop, and this woman walked in and said, you know, a woman I knew, and she told me she had a new car coming in from the States. And I just said, what are you doing with your old one? You know, I ended up buying that car sight unseen, not because I didn't want to see it or drive it, but just the way circumstances worked out. But I just had that strong sense. I'd always trust my intuition, and it was just like, this is the right car. And it was. It was perfect. But, you know, had I been focused on what was wrong and everything, like, oh my gosh, you know, the floorboard could just go and I could be on the floor while we're driving, I could be on the road. I didn't go there, you see. I just trusted that I was in a high vibrational frequency, that this was going to, you know, that everything was going to work out. I had that trust. And that's really where you need to be. It's not focusing on what's wrong. And, I mean, I was driving the car. You know, it would have been easy to focus on, oh, my God, look at the road through, while I'm driving. It would have been really easy to focus there, but I didn't do it. You know, it was more like, oh, I got my new car coming. You know, I'm covered. And that's the attitude where you need to be. If you start focusing on, oh, God, here comes another bill, how am I going to pay this, and you get that sinking feeling in your stomach, you're all charged there. You're not going to create what you desire. You have to remove the charge and then, you know, and stay in the positive thought of like, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if I got some more clients today? Or, wow, I wonder what it would feel like if, just some unexpected money just fell into my lap. You know, so you kind of go into, it's a looser place. It's not like, oh, my God, I need more money or, I'm not going to be able to pay the rent. You know, you can't go there. Because if you do, you're going to create more of what you don't want.
It makes perfect sense.
It does. It really does. And, you know, and especially that letting go, the important thing of wanting to create what you desire is not being attached to it. For example, you know, I used to be able to manifest, you know, material things were very easy for me. But I suffered with terrible asthma for so many years, and you know, I was attached to finding a cure. Well, guess what didn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it was because I had an emotional charge on it. It didn't, if you have to have the attitude like, it'd be great if this happened, but I'm fine if it doesn't. That's the attitude you need to have.
Yeah. That's the difference between having an open palm under the water and a clenched fist under the water.
Yeah. You're not going to get anything in that clenched fist.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Just write
Thank
that
you,
down
my Tammy.
Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Take care, my sis. Okay, Marbeth, we have just like blown through this hour and a half. You are just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You
so are you.
Gotta
back at you.
And so a couple things. One is how can people find out more about what you've got going on? You've got so many, you've got a television show and workshops and seminars and tell us about all the awesome stuff that you've got going on.
Well, it's not a television show, but I'm a regular on Good Morning Florida Keys. I'm on about once a month on that, and I've been on different morning segments around the country, which has been a lot of fun. I also have a radio show on the Law of Attraction radio network called The Great Metamorphosis, and I wanted to offer our listeners today a copy of my free ebook, which is The 7 Steps to Get Unstuck and Unlock Your Joy. And you can go to yourjoyjourney.com and download a copy of the ebook. It's yourjoyjourney.com. And I also wanted to offer our listeners tonight, because you guys have been great, and it's really been so much fun, Brad. I love it. If you guys would like to have a free 15-minute consult with me, you can just email me, marbeth@marbethdunn.com, and just mention free 15-minute consult. If I have room on my calendar, I can book probably about 5 right now. So if you don't hear from me right away, we'll contact you, you know, as soon as we can. Because I just like to...
What a beautiful gift of love. What a beautiful gift.
That's my... Well, it makes me feel good, you know? It's kind of selfish.
I can relate. So as we wrap up this time, Marbeth, if you were to, like, take a breath, look inside, and share with us kind of that one thought that kind of encapsulates what you'd like to leave us with tonight, what would that be?
I'm going to say let go of the past. You know, just imagine that you're holding a pen in your hand and you can just open it and just drop it. Let go of the things that are your resentments, your anger. Let it go. Even, you know, your thoughts about yourself, the things that you're holding against yourself, let it go. And you're going to find that your life is going to flow so much easier.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend. I would definitely love to have you back again, and I will be in communication with you, probably I'd have you back hopefully February, March, somewhere right around in there. Would love to have you back.
Sounds great. I would love that.
I'll send you an email and we'll get it organized.
Sounds great. Thanks, Fred. This has been really fun.
Oh, what a gift of love and energy you've been with us tonight. So thank you so much. And have a blessed holiday. I'm sure you will. And we will talk again soon.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Thank you so much. And love and blessings to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's bring in our awesome producer, Cindy. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi. What have you got to share with us tonight?
Well, we can join Marbeth on her program on Awakening Zone, and also there's the Bright Light with Dee Wallace. It's December the 9th at 7 o'clock, and she's focusing on channeling, so that'll be a really interesting show. And what's on your show next week?
We're welcoming back one of our listeners' favorites, and that is Francis Rico, who is a shaman and just a man that is just pure love, and very definitely one of our listeners' favorites, and one of mine as well. So we welcome you back for that, and in the meantime, be blessed, everyone, and thank you for being with us, and have a great evening. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to the Awakening Zone Radio Network, offering insights and inspiration for our evolving consciousness.